Teach me to know your ways. Teach me to know your healing grace.
Teach me to
know the mighty one. Teach me to know.
Welcome to The Way That Leads to Life, a weekly presentation of the Eastside Church of Christ, sharing teaching from God's own word to guide our steps in the way that leads to life.
Good morning, and thanks for tuning in to The Way That Leads to Life this morning. Great to have you listening in. I'm Steve Klein. God's given us a beautiful day today to serve Him, and we want to invite you to do that with us at the Eastside Church. We meet at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. If you're anywhere around the Athens area this morning, we'd love for you to be with us at 9 o'clock for our Bible studies and about 9:45 for our worship assembly. If you can't be there, we stream our services, and you can find the live stream video on Facebook, on our Facebook page, Eastside Church of Christ on Facebook in Athens, Alabama. And also, we have a website, eastside-church.org, eastside-church.org. And you can look at the video there. But we'd love for you to be with us this morning as we worship God and thank Him for all that He's doing for us. Wow, we've had some beautiful weather the last couple of days. Fall is such a great time of year, and I know a lot of us are enjoying that. And those blessings and so many more that we could count, just so many great things that God does for us and has done for us and continues to do for us. He deserves our honor and our praise. He deserves our adoration. And that's what worship is all about, just showing adoration to the God who is so wonderful and who gave His Son to die so that we might have eternal life. Well, the name of our program is The Way That Leads to Life. And we talk about various aspects of that title, which comes from Matthew chapter 7. Jesus talks about that the gate is narrow and the way is difficult that leads to life. And there are few there be that find it, but there is this way that leads to life, and we can find it and we can take it. It's not necessarily easy. He says it's not. He says not everybody finds it, but we can take that way that leads to life. And a lot of times on the program, we talk about the way. We talk about how do we get there? You know, what does the Bible say about getting to life? But this morning, what I'd like to do is think about that last word, life. What kind of life are we talking about? The way that leads to life. What do we mean by life? Well, in the New Testament, there are a couple of words in the original Greek of the New Testament. Of course, the New Testament was written in Greek, and there are a couple of words in the New Testament Greek that are translated life. One is bios. We get our word biology from that, for instance, study of life. And another word, the more common word probably, is the word zoe, which we get our word zoo or zoology from that. So it's basically the life. You know, we think about animal life. We think about anything that's living, and that falls under this concept of zoe or life. But the New Testament usually does not use the word life to refer to physical living things. Sometimes it does, but most of the time the concept of life in the New Testament doesn't have a whole lot to do with physical life. It has much more to do with eternal life and spiritual life and life in the inward man of a human being. So when we talk about the way that leads to life, we're talking about how to live life more fully in this world, but more importantly, how to experience eternal life in the world to come. Jesus said in John chapter 10 and verse 10, I have come that they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So Jesus came to bring life and to bring an abundant life. And the life that He's bringing is not a life necessarily of physical blessedness or long years in this world, although you'll be blessed in lots of ways, and you may well live long if you obey the words of God and follow His precepts in your life, because it's just a great way to live. It's a healthy way to live, so to speak. But that's not what Jesus is talking about. He's talking about life that is eternal, and we want to talk about that life this morning. The way that leads to this eternal life is a way of living an abundant life here on earth, but experiencing life more abundantly even in the world to come. I'm going to start with a passage in the Gospel of Luke, Luke chapter 12 and verse 13 of Luke chapter 12. There was someone in the crowd, and Jesus is there, and there's someone in the crowd that said to Jesus, "Teacher, tell my brother to divide the inheritance with me." But he said to him, "Man, who made me a judge or an arbitrator over you?" And he said to them, "Take heed and beware of covetousness, for one's life does not consist in the abundance of the things he possesses." See, your life is not all about the stuff you've got. It's not all about physical things at all. You know, I know there are lots of people in the world today who think that religion is what you do to get physical blessings. And Jesus says your life's not about the physical things at all. In fact, he tells people in the Sermon on the Mount, don't worry about the physical things. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and the physical things will take care of themselves. So Jesus is telling us, beware of covetousness. Beware of the desire, the lust for physical things. Beware of greed. Beware of materialism. These are the things that are involved in covetousness. Your life is not made of, materialism. That's not what life is all about. And then he goes on and he speaks a parable to the people. He spoke a parable to them. This is verse 16 of Luke chapter 12. And said that the ground of a certain rich man yielded plentifully. And he thought within himself, saying, "What shall I do, since I have no room to store my crops?" So he said, "I will do this. I will pull down my barns and build greater. And there I will store all my crops and my goods. And I will say to my soul, 'Soul, you have many goods laid up for many years. Take your ease, eat, drink, and be merry.' But God said to him, 'Fool, this night your soul will be required of you. Then whose will those things be which you have provided?'" See, here's a man that Jesus is describing. He was rich. He had all kinds of stuff, and he was prospering. He had so much he didn't know what to do with all of it. And he only thinks about himself, and he only thinks about those things and his physical condition in this life. And Jesus basically describes him as somebody who's going to die that very night. And then he's going to face eternity. He's going to face an everlasting God who's going to judge him and either grant to him eternal life or not. And so what's more important then? These physical things that this rich man had an abundance of and was so concerned about? Or is it something else? We need to be rich toward God. We need to be thinking about our spiritual lives. So the life that Jesus came that we might have and have more abundantly, and the way that leads to this life that we're talking about is a spiritual path. And the life that we're looking at is viewed from an eternal perspective, not just what's going on in the here and now material world. Jesus in John 6 and verse 47 said, "Truly, truly, I say to you, he that believes on me has everlasting life." Everlasting life. That's the life that Jesus came to give, that he came to lead us to. In John 17 and verse 3, as he's praying to his Father, he says, "This is life eternal, that they may know you, the only true God, and Jesus Christ, whom you have sent." So we're learning a couple of things here about how to get eternal life, but I want to focus on the fact that what we're trying to lay hold of and obtain is eternal life. That's the life that Jesus came to bring to us. That's the life that is at the end of the way that we are walking, if we're walking that way that leads to life. So this is our goal. This is our goal. The Bible says in Romans chapter 6 and verse 23 that the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. So when we sin, there is a death that results from that. Now, sin brought physical death into the world in the book of Genesis with the sin of Adam and Eve. But Jesus isn't particularly talking about physical death because there's a spiritual death as well. Death always involves a separation. When you die physically, the spirit separates from the body. When you die spiritually, the spirit separates from God. So that's what spiritual death is. It's a separation from God. And whether that's in this life or eternity, that's in the essence of what death is. So people who are not ready to face the life after this, and they go to God in judgment, and they're not allowed into His presence. And His presence is what heaven is all about. So they're separated from that, and they're cast out of His presence, and that's spiritual death. That's what hell really is. It's anguish, it's pain, and Jesus describes it in a lot of ways. But the main thing about it is you're separated from God for all eternity. Jesus doesn't want that for us. He came to give eternal life with a relationship and a connection to God in His presence. That's what Jesus came to give us. That life, that eternal life, cannot be possessed and enjoyed apart from God's Word. There's this really close connection in Scripture between God's Word, what He has to say, and the life that He gives us through Jesus Christ. In the Gospel of John, the Gospel starts in John 1 and verse 1 by saying, "In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God." And goes on to explain that this Word that John is talking about is actually Jesus Christ. Later on, he says, "The Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth," John 1 and verse 14. So Jesus is the Word of God. He expresses God's will to us. He is God's communication to us. He is God's mind expressed to us in human terms. No man's seen God at any time, but the only begotten Son who's in the bosom of the Father, He has declared Him. So Jesus communicates God and God's will to us. But in this same context there in John chapter 1, what I want you to notice is what it says in verse 4 about this Word who is Jesus. It says, "In Him was life, and the life was the light of men." In Jesus, there is life. Jesus brought life to everything. Without Him, nothing was made that was made. So He is the one who gives life to everything, initially at creation, and then He brings eternal life to humankind. In Him was life, and the life was the light of men. John writes about this again in his first letter, 1 John, the epistle of 1 John, chapter 1, verses 1 and 2, in the introduction of that letter. He talks about that which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen with our eyes, which we have looked upon and handled and have handled with our hands, the Word of life. So he's talking about the Word as a person. Of course, that person is Jesus, who came to communicate God and God's will to us and to give us life. He calls Him. He says, we've seen this Word. We've looked upon. Our hands have handled the Word of life. And then he goes on in the next phrase and says, "For the life was manifested. We have seen it. We bear witness and show unto you that eternal life which was with the Father and was manifested to us." So Jesus came as the very image of God, the representation of God, Emmanuel, God with us. He came to bring life. He is the Word of life. That's what He's called in that text. And He shows us eternal life. He shows us how to obtain eternal life. And so John, that's the first thing he says in that epistle. But at the end of the epistle, near the end of it, in 1 John chapter 5 and verse 11, he says, "This is the record that God has given to us eternal life, and this life is in His Son." Do you want to live forever? Do you want to live forever in a state that's wonderful and glorious and blessed beyond anything we can probably even imagine? I think most of us do. I think that would be exactly what we want. What we're learning here is that that's what Jesus came to bring. In Him is life. He is life. And He expresses to us how to obtain life. He is therefore called the Word of life. Life, eternal life, is in Him, and He expresses to us how to obtain it. He shows us how to obtain it. We'll talk about that some more in a minute. So the Word then, this communication of God to us, is called life. He is the Word of life. So in 2 Timothy chapter 1 and verse 10, the Apostle Paul writes about this as well, when he's talking about Jesus Christ, and he said that Jesus brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Well, the gospel is the good news, the word of God that tells us about Jesus coming and living a perfect life and dying a shameful death and being raised again on the third day and ascending back to the Father, and all of that happening in the clear light of human history with a lot of witnesses seeing it happen and attesting to that happening to us. And so we know this happened. We know the story of the gospel, but it is the gospel is God's good news. It's his word about all of this, about Jesus' wonderful appearing and his wonderful work on our behalf to bring us salvation. So again, Paul talks about Jesus bringing life and immortality to light. We can see it now in the gospel. We can find out. We can see how to gain eternal life. And so when Jesus was on earth, he will repeatedly talk about how his words give life. Going back now to the Gospel of John, we're going to be looking at John chapter 5 and verse 24. There Jesus says, "Most assuredly I say to you, he who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life and shall not come into judgment, but has passed from death into life." Wow. It's the word then of Jesus. It's the sayings of Jesus that we need to listen to and believe and allow to affect our lives so that we might have eternal life. "He who hears my word and believes in him who sent me has everlasting life." Listen to Jesus' words. You want to live forever? Listen to Jesus' words and believe what he has to say about himself, about God the Father, about how we're supposed to live, about how we're supposed to come into this relationship of eternal life with him. His word, you see, conveys what we need to know to have eternal life. In John chapter 6, Jesus again has some things to say about the connection between his word and life. John 6 is really interesting in the flow of the story of the gospel. Early in John 6, Jesus had miraculously fed 5,000 people with 5 loaves and 2 fishes. And right after that, then people begin to follow him because they wanted free food, you know. And Jesus says, what you need, you don't need this free food. What you need is the bread of life. He says, "I'm the bread of life who's come down from heaven. What you need is me. You need to take me into you. I am the bread of life which has come down from heaven." He repeats that in John chapter 6. Well, a lot of people who were following him weren't following him because they wanted this spiritual relationship, because they wanted to live forever with God. They were following him for the free food, the physical food, the loaves and the fishes. And so they became pretty disappointed in Jesus and what he was saying to them on this occasion. So we're going to look at John chapter 6. And notice with me, in this text, verse 63, Jesus says, "It is the Spirit who gives life. The flesh profits nothing. The words that I speak to you are spirit and they are life." I hear a lot of people today talking about, you know, wanting to be led by the Spirit or being led by the Spirit. And Jesus tells us that his words are spirit. Listen to his words. They were given by the Spirit. We have them recorded in the New Testament by the Holy Spirit. His words are life. They are what lead us to life. They are what bring, you know, what brings life to us. Jesus is the word, but he expresses God's will for us concerning eternal life, and in him is life. That's what these passages are telling us. So in order to have this eternal life, we need to listen to Jesus' words. This is being said over and over and over again. And yet a lot of people who think they have eternal life know very little about what Jesus said, either while he was on earth or later through his inspired apostles and prophets, what we have in the New Testament. Jesus' words are life. We need to be paying attention to those words. That's what Jesus is trying to tell these people on this occasion. A lot of disciples, would-be disciples on this occasion in John chapter 6, turned back and didn't follow Jesus anymore after he wouldn't give them physical food because that's what they wanted. They didn't want this spiritual food. They were not interested in the bread of life, which is Jesus himself and his words. Jesus turned to the 12 disciples and said in verse 67, do you also want to go away? And Simon Peter answered and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of eternal life. The words of eternal life. You see how important it is then that we pay attention to Jesus' words. He has the words of eternal life, words that he spoke while on earth and words that he inspired his apostles and prophets to share with us in the New Testament. We need to pay attention to Jesus' words for sure. In John 12 and verse 50, Jesus says, I know that his commandment is everlasting life, talking about God. I know that his commandment is everlasting life. Whatsoever I speak, therefore, even as the Father said to me, so I speak. The words that Jesus spoke come directly from the Father. That's everlasting life. These same words were spoken by the apostles. In fact, in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20, the apostles were arrested and thrown in prison in Jerusalem, and an angel appeared to them and let them out of prison and instructed them in Acts chapter 5 and verse 20 to go and stand in the temple and speak to the people all the words of this life. The apostles' words that they were speaking were the words of life because they were the words of Christ. And we need to listen to those words today. And in fact, we need to share those words today. If we are Christians, we need to be talking about this word that brings eternal life. That if we hear it and believe it and act it out in our lives, we also will have eternal life. Paul encourages the Philippians in Philippians chapter 2 and verse 16 to hold fast the word of life. And one translation says, hold forth the word of life. We need to be holding it fast and holding it forth, sharing it with others, this word of life. So what does the word say to us about having and gaining eternal life? What we find in God's word is that eternal life can only be enjoyed when we meet certain conditions. The first and most obvious of those is that we have to hear the word, right? Jesus says, listen to my word, that's eternal life. And then we have to believe it. We have to believe it. John 3:16, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. So belief is essential. In John chapter 6 and verse 40, this is the will of him that sent me, that everyone who sees the Son and believes on him may have everlasting life, and I will raise him up at the last day. This is the will of God, believing so that you can have eternal life. But there's much more to this than just a mental assent, yes, that I believe that Jesus is the Son of God. There's the word says much more to us about obtaining eternal life. So there are those that, you know, look at these passages we've just looked at, especially John 3:16, and act like that's the only thing the Bible says about obtaining eternal life, that all you have to do is just believe. And they mean by that just think that Jesus is really the Son of God, and that's all there is to it, and nothing more. And nothing could be further from the truth. Again, eternal life is in the Word. Jesus came to communicate the word to us. That's what he did. We need to hear the word, not just some of it, but all of it. The word tells us that, yes, we must believe, but it also tells us that what we do, the way we act on that belief, makes our faith alive. And what we do in life echoes in eternity. And so we believe, we make that choice to believe, but also we must make a choice to repent, to change our sinful ways and not do the things that cause us to lose our relationship with God that brought death. Because, you know, the wages of sin is death. We're going to have to change our minds about our sins if we're going to have eternal life. In Acts chapter 11, the Apostle Peter had gone to the house of Cornelius in Acts chapter 10. And Cornelius was a Gentile. He was not a Jew. And yet Peter was instructed by God to go preach to him the gospel. And he did that. And as a result of that, those Gentiles became Christians. Well, when Peter goes back to Jerusalem, the Jews, you know, wonder, what were you doing there, Peter? What do you mean? The Gentiles going to Christians? And they had a hard time accepting that. So Peter explains to them what God had told him to do and what happened in the household of Cornelius. And when he gets done explaining it to them, it said that they said, well, it's obvious what's happened is that God has also granted to the Gentiles repentance unto life. repentance unto life. You see, repentance is something you do with a view toward having eternal life. That's what Cornelius and his household did. That's what we also have to do today. Repentance is something you do toward having eternal life. You believe, you turn away from sins, and that's that change of mind. You're not going to sin anymore. And then the Bible also talks about the importance of baptism in gaining this life. If you look at the book of Romans, chapter 6, Paul's writing to Christians who were looking forward to eternal life and had this hope of eternal life. And he writes to them in Romans chapter 6 about how they came into that relationship with God. He says, "Do you not know that as many of us," this is Romans 6 and verse 3, "do you not know that as many of us as were baptized into Christ were baptized into his death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life." Here is life. Here's life again. And how did these people come into it? Well, they repented and they were baptized. Exactly what Peter told people to do on the day of Pentecost, by the way, when they asked him after they learned that they'd crucified the Christ, "What shall we do?" He said, "Repent and let every one of you be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of your sins." Here's how we obtain life. Here's how we receive the gift of eternal life. We believe, we turn away from sins, and we're baptized, and we're raised to walk in newness of life. And then we follow Christ. Whatever he says to do in our lives, that's what we do. That means we have to study his word. That means we have to listen to him, doesn't it? In John chapter 10 and verse 27, Jesus, talking about himself as the good shepherd and his followers as sheep, he says, "My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me, and I give to them eternal life." How does he give them eternal life? Because they're following his words. So you have these things you must do, reactions to the gospel, to the word of God, that are necessary if you're to have eternal life: believing and repenting and being baptized for the remission of sins and following Jesus and listening to his voice all the rest of your life. This involves patient continuance in doing that which is right. In Romans 2 and verse 7, the Apostle Paul says that God will give to them who by patient continuance in well-doing seek for glory and honor and immortality and eternal life. You see, you show that you want eternal life by patiently continuing to do good. Now, again, there are those that say, well, what you do doesn't have anything to do with eternal life. Well, the Bible over and over again says it does. You don't earn eternal life by what you do. You know, God doesn't owe it to you. It's by his grace. It's by his grace through Jesus Christ and the gospel. But we've just read several passages that show that hearing, believing, repentance, baptism, following Jesus, patiently continuing in doing good, all of those are necessary for eternal life. So our program is The Way That Leads to Life. We want you to take The Way That Leads to Life. It's not necessarily an easy way, but it's doable, and God has opened it up for us through his wonderful grace and through sending his Son. But Jesus said, "Narrow is the gate and difficult is the way which leads to life, and few there be that find it." You can choose to be one of those few. You can choose to walk the way that leads to life. Is your life right now, is it abundant? Is it a life that is leading you into an eternal relationship with God? We're begging you in this morning and in this program week by week to find life in Christ through his word, to come to know his word, to study it, do what it says to do so that you might possess eternal life. We offer not only teaching in our assemblies, if you want to be with us this morning at 9 o'clock for our worship assembly, we'd love to have you. But also you can sign up for a Bible correspondence course. We have one entitled Jesus the Way that talks exactly about how Jesus is the way that leads us to life. You can go to our website and sign up for that, eastside-church.org. Well, I thank you for tuning in today, and I hope you have a great week, and I hope you decide to take this wonderful way that leads to life.
You've been listening to The Way That Leads to Life, presented by the Eastside Church of Christ, meeting at 110 French Way in Athens, Alabama. Come visit us this morning at 9 o'clock or this evening at 5 o'clock as we assemble for worship. Also, join us for Wednesday Bible study at 7 o'clock p.m. For free audio or video of the Bible lessons taught at Eastside or to learn more about us, log on to eastside-church.org. That's eastside-church.org. And tune in again next week to The Way That Leads to Life.